Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light in the search and revelation of light on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Colonization, Subjugation, and Extermination, Part 2. Again, colonization appears to be synonymous with subjugation and extermination. Historically, it has most certainly been advantageous to the colonizer and detrimental. You cannot discover something in their own environment. The fact that you have never been to or seen something is not indicative of it being lost and therefore in need of discovery, and to add to that, being conquered. To assume that they or the land should be colonized is to assume that they or the land should be subjugated to your tyranny and exploitation. Is colonization a bad word? It appears to be. Why aren't the history books calling a spade? Again, colonization, subjugation, and extermination. We're going to define colonization from the dictionary. Colonized means to send a group of settlers to a place and establish political control over it. That's a nicey-nicey way of saying taking something from somebody. And understand, because I've already had my own system, culture, and then another group of people comes to establish political control over the place, which would be a geographical area. You understand? You have to take that from somebody. And you come to somebody's house, you're going to have to force them out of their house, into a certain part of their house, or out. So that's not, that may sound civil to some people, but it's actually not speaking about anything that remotely civil. They said it's synonymous for colonize is to overrun, occupy, take over, seize, capture, take possession of, annex, subjugate, okay? It says come to settle among and establish political control over indigenous people of an area, okay? Colonialism, the policy or practice of acquiring full or partial political control over another country, occupying it with settlers and exploiting it economically. I added imperialism, which seems to be exactly the same thing as colonialism, a policy of extending a country's power and influence through diplomacy or military force. That means you're going to control the government, or you're simply just going to go in and take the job, military. So in colonization, in order for you to control land and people are not willing to give you control over, you will have to use force. And the way that societies use force nowadays and in the past has been through their military. So whether it's an organized military act or just a group of people, you're going to actually use violence to get what you want. So the definition shines a much different light on the subject of the 13 colony, any colony, because colonization did not just take place in the Americas. We know that Christopher Columbus in 1492, the Europeans came to America to increase their wealth and broaden their influence, which seemed to be a major theme amongst the colonists and the people who choose to colonize people. UW Press, University of Wisconsin Press, says, research by some scholars provides population estimates of the pre-contact Americas to be as high as 112 million in 1492. That's when Columbus first came to what they were calling the so-called New World. While others estimate the population to have been as low as 8 million, in any case, the native population declined to less than 6 million by 1650. And many more died after that, as you know. The common theme is relations since European colonization in America. From the Western expansion of North America, summary and definition of westward expansion. What does westward expansion mean? The term westward expansion encompasses the acquisition of territory by the United States across the whole area of the North American continent from the Atlantic Ocean in the west. Westward expansion was enabled by buying land, wars, treaties, which they broke every single treaty. I read that every single treaty they have with the Indians, they broke them, almost every single one. I don't know if they're breaking them now. Probably breaking treaties right now. Anyway, and the displacement of Native American Indians. So, plan is to get rid of the Indians. The rat or the indigenous people or who's ever there, whether you're indigenous, whether you've been there 100 years or 100,000 years, they plan to get rid of you. So, the rapid settlement of territories gained during the process of the westward expansion was made possible by progressive transportation systems such as roads, canals, and railroads, and the belief in, very important here, the manifest destiny of the United States of America. So from Western expansion, that sounds like a nice way to say we're going to take what we want and kill anyone who gets in our way. In the language of today's urban crime lord, get down and lay down. How can people imagine expanding into someone else's backyard or living room? That gives new meaning to the 13 colony or colonial America or anywhere else. Reasons for westward expansion. Why was the westward expansion important, and what were the reasons for westward expansion? There was a whole continent to explore that offered a range of different climates, geographical features, vegetation, animals, and raw materials, the potential of the new resources and the massive areas of land where land was almost free. The language already that's minimizing who's ever there, whatever situation is there, whatever culture is there. Westward expansion offered people the opportunity to find new homes and work, to experience adventure, to explore possibilities, to become rich, to find gold or silver, to escape from the constraints of civilization, and to make a new start. In other words, they say, the westward expansion enabled people to live the American dream. Americans were motivated to move west for a whole variety of practical reasons, but they were inspired by the belief that the manifest destiny of the United States, wow, again, from provocative thought, while it's God's will to expand the American colonies west, right in the backyard of the already geographically evicted and depopulated Native America, because they already took the East Coast. That should have made everything just fine. That's a new start for the European and an end for the Native American. History shows proves that. Again, economics is also a great motivator. American greed, ethnocentrism, and narcissism would seal the fate of the Native Americans and anyone else who got in their way. I just want to make a mention here about the Buffalo Soldier, because Africans were slaves in this country. And Buffalo Soldier played a role in, I guess, in their eyes, making the West safe. The soldiers were all black. The 9th and the 10th Cavalry Regiment were dubbed the Buffalo Soldiers by the Native Americans they all encountered. Theory is that the soldiers' dark curly hair resembled the fur of the buffalo, so they, you know, Buffalo Soldier. So here's the thing about the Buffalo Soldier, which is sad. You know, I know that people, you know, some people praise the Buffalo Soldier and things like that, and in terms of being a war machine, I guess they deserve to be praised. If you look at it in terms of being a war apparatus, but if you look at it in terms of humanity, it's very sad that the descendants of slaves and people who were being subjected to to all kinds of cruelty in this country were set upon making war and protecting, the Indians against the, expansion and supporting the expansion of the United States. So, for whatever reason, that name stuck to the Buffalo Soldier, right? So his main job, the main Buffalo Soldier's main mission was to secure the road from San Antonio to El Paso and restore and maintain order in areas disrupted by Native Americans, many of whom were frustrated with life on Indian reservations and broken promises made by the federal government. As I said, that these guys broke at just about every treaty they made with them. I read where they broke them all, every single one of them. I don't know, because I don't know all the treaties that they made, but apparently they broke a lot of treaties. And that's the only way you can get from the East Coast to the West Coast. You're gonna make some treaties and you're gonna break them, and you're gonna make war. So anyway, so their job was to basically maintain orders in areas disrupted by Native Americans. So somebody help me out with this one, because areas disrupted by Native Americans are areas first disrupted by Europeans. Colonization is a state of mind that allows individuals to think, perceive that their actions are just, righteous, the will of God, regardless of the atrocities perpetrated on the indigenous peoples. Keep that in mind, because this just didn't happen in the North America, in the Americas. But apparently, people have this mindset, which basically minimizes, even dehumanizes other people, and to the point that they move them out like you move roaches out of your house. Like, you don't want a roach in your house, or it's a house where animals living in, and you bought the house, now you're going to fix it up for you, you're going to move all those things out, you're going to gut the house, and you're going to do your thing with it. So that seems to be the process. The 9th Cavalry was critical to the success of a 3-month campaign known as the Red River War against the Kiowas, the Comanches, the Cheyenne, and the Arapaho, those Indian tribes, just because anybody doesn't know. It was after this battle that the 10th Cavalry was sent to join them in Texas. Troop H had H and I of the 10th Cavalry were a part of the George Alexander Forsythe and what remained of his group of scouts on a sandbar and surrounded by Indians in the Iroquois River. A couple of weeks later, the same troop engaged hundreds of Indians at Beaver Creek and fought so gallantly that they were thanked in a field order by General Philip Sheridan. Ain't that something? You get it. I don't understand the Buffalo Soldiers. That's all I'm saying. Like, I understand, these guys were good soldiers. I get that part. But I think there were guys fighting for the wrong cause. 20% of the U.S. cavalry troops that participated in the Indian Wars were Buffalo Soldiers, who participated in at least 177 conflicts. So, and that's my spiel about the Buffalo Soldiers. So, wow. Using the oppressed and suppressed to suppress the oppressed and suppress. That is evil genius. The Buffalo Soldier functioned as a resource used in the subjugation and extermination of the Native Americans. For many years, Hollywood had portrayed the Native American as savages. Fact is, there is evidence that scalping was 1,000 years old in Europe. Herodotus wrote in 440 BC that the Scythian soldiers scalped their dead enemies, softened them, and used them as napkins. Woo. They lived in the Black Sea area of Europe. Scalping in England preceded the settlement of North America by at least 4 centuries. The Earl of Wessex, Harold Goodwin, scalped his enemies as early as the 11th century. bringing the scouts back from battle to prove they were dead. That's from Indian country today. There are some accounts where some people are saying that the Indians had practiced scalping also. There's some evidence that be over there to see it. Anyway, it's not a thing that the Indians are started. Apparently, the Europeans were scalping long before these guys. Now we're going to go to the colonization of Africa. From an article written by a guy, I can't even pronounce his name, from Hunter College. It says between 1870s and 1900, Africa faced European imperialist aggression, diplomatic pressures, military invasions, and African society put up various forms of resistance against the attempts to colonize their country and impose foreign domain. By the early 20th century, however, much of Africa, except Ethiopia, and remember, Ethiopia, I'm going to tell the story about Ethiopia later on, Ethiopia and Liberia had been colonized by European powers. Now, Liberia, my understanding is they use American currency. That's supposed to be where the slaves from the America came, went to, and settled there. And they had issues with the indigenous people all there also, but we're not going to get into Liberia as a country. Okay, the European imperialist push into Africa was motivated by three main factors. This is constant with this whole thing about colonizing and imperialism and war, political and social. It developed in the 19th century following the collapse of the profitability of the slave trade, its abolition and suppression, as well as the expansion of European capitalist industrial revolution. The imperatives of capitalist industrial revolutionization, including the demand for assured sources of raw material, that's resources, y'all, coming from the earth that you use to make anything that you see. That could be animals, that could be rocks, that could be types of wood, that could be anything, all right? The search for guaranteed markets and fuels, y'all. Thus, the primary motivation for European intrusion was economics, all right? Now we get into why people going around conquering people, because this all it is people conquering people. And taking what they have. That's all we're talking about here. Colonization is a word for conquering. So that's just another word for conquering who's ever there. The scramble for Africa. But other factors played an important role in the process. The political impetus derived from the impact of inter-European power struggle. That's the Europeans fighting against each other, having a little, power struggle. Portugal and Spain were competing for power within the European power politics. One way to demonstrate national preeminence was through the acquisition of territories around the world, including Africa. I mean, they're pretty close. So, I mean, why wouldn't they go to Africa? If they came to the United States, they was going to Africa. So, the social factor was the third major element. As a result of industrialization, Major social problems grew in Europe. Unemployment, poverty, homelessness, social displacement, and rural areas, displacement from rural areas, and so on. These social problems developed partly because not all people could be absorbed by the new capitalist industries. Let's pay close attention to this. One way to resolve this problem was to acquire colony relations. I'm going to take these people that we have here that we're not supporting, and we're going to put them somewhere else. We're going to take something else, some land somewhere else, from some other people, put them there. All right? This led to the establishment of settler colonies in Algeria, Tunisia, South Africa, Namibia, Angola, Mozambique, and Central African areas like Zimbabwe and Zambia. Eventually, the overriding economic factors led to the colonization of other parts of Africa. Sounds like somebody just had a big stomach. Thus, it was the interplay of these economic, political, and social factors and forces and the frenzied attempts by European commercial and military, and political agents to declare and establish a state in different parts of the continent through inter-imperialist commercial competition. Understand that? That's commercial, military, and political agents. All right, y'all? So that's very important. So if you think that corporate interest doesn't have anything to do with war, everything is about the good and the bad and things like that, which it is, but it may not be the good and the bad idea that you may think it is. This says that the plot is thicker than we think it is. Traders and claims to exclusive controls of waterways and commercial routes in different parts of Africa. These are things they competed for. So, from provocative thought again, power and control are major themes in colonization and imperialization. Imperialism, again, is a policy of extending a country's power and influence through diplomacy or military force. So if I could get to your head of state, get a puppet in the White House, and I'm not joking or about that, get a puppet in the White House, you could practice imperialism or colonial. You can colonize a country by being in charge of the people who are in charge of the masses. It's very, very important because you have to be aware of how people move in your country, not just politicians, apparently interest groups. That includes these corporate people and things like that. You know, they're the shakers and movers. So basically, diplomacy is talking about taking control of a sovereign nation's geographical area and resources, and military force is taking it. Because there's only one thing that the military did to do, right? So, in 1903, after a tribal disagreement over peace, over a price of a goat, German troops intervened and shot. Ensuing scuffle, the retaliation, Nama tribe and shot 3 German soldiers. Right? That's what happens, right? All right. Meanwhile, armed colonists were demanding that the rule protecting Hario land holdings be overturned. So these were the colonists who had a law or rule that protected the indigenous people's land. That's like the Indians, they got certain lands. Say, okay, y'all right here. That's where y'all stay at. We took this. Y'all stay right there. Y'all cool right there, right? All right. So they stand, we're going to take their land, basically. Let's take their land from them. They shot 3 Germans, they shot 3 of us, right? Wanted to force the hero into reservation. Familiar. If you're, if anybody here is Native American, this got to be a familiar story. Soon after, in early 1904, the Germans opened aggressive negotiations that aimed to drastically shrink the Hario territory. Sound familiar? 2 settlers claimed, then it goes on, they just, refused to, but the chiefs wouldn't sign. They wouldn't sign. They said they ain't giving up their territory. I'm not giving up my house for you. You shouldn't even be here, right? They refused to be herded into a small patch of unfamiliar territory. Sound familiar? That was badly suited for all grazing. Both sides built up their military forces according to Etchison's book. In January of the year, 2 settlers claimed to have seen Hario preparing for an attack, and colonial leaders sent a telegram to Berlin announcing an uprising. You got an uprising. These guys are attacked. How are they uprising? So, number one, I don't understand this. You're in their land. You're taking away from them. See the perception here? Does this not sound familiar? Anyway, they send word to Berlin, We got an uprising going on here. These, you know what's rising up? Though no fighting had broken out. It isn't clear who fired the first shot, but German soldiers and armed settlers were initially outnumbered. The Herero attacked a German settlement, destroying homes and railroad tracks, and eventually killing several farmers. In the course of just a few weeks, 80% of the Herero tribe died, and many survivors were imprisoned in forced labor camps. After a rebellion of Nama fighters, the same tactics were used against Nama men, women, and children. We call that extermination. All right? 80% of the Herero tribe died. We call that extermination where I come from. Their homeland, land being taken away from them when they decided to stand up and fight. That's a constant theme I keep hearing for people of color, period, in lots of situations. You know, when they stand up for themselves, kill them. And that might have something to do with why that's going on. In a colony where indigenous people vastly outnumber the thousands of German settlers, the numbers are staggering. About 55,000 Herero and 10,000 Nama were murdered. The European imperialist designs and pressures of the late 19th century provoked African political and diplomatic response and eventually military resistance. Now, I wasn't there, but I think that's kind of like these guys are slow starters. It provoked political and diplomatic responses and eventually military resistance. Maybe it wasn't a good thing for them to go, you know, the blows with the powerful military forces, and they only went to violence, turned to violence when they had no other choice. If that's the reason, I understand that. But if, other than that, because, you know, if you would have, maybe they had started that upon time somebody tried to take something, they wouldn't have had that problem. But then again, I don't know. I can't even criticize them. You know, because look, it sounds like these people aren't even trying to make war, but war is being made against them. During and after the Berlin Conference, various European countries sent out agents to sign so-called treaties of protection with the leaders of African societies. Okay, here we go with the treaties again. States, kingdoms, decentralized societies, and empires. The differential interpretation of these treaties by the contending forces often led to conflict between both parties and eventually to military encounter. Okay? That sounds like they didn't understand, or they thought they knew what the guy was saying, but he didn't mean what he had wrote down on that piece of paper, and therefore he broke it down to him another way. Either way, there was a bunch of confusion, and maybe somebody signed off on it. For Europeans, these treaties meant that Africans had signed away their sovereignty. See? Come on, now. Anybody read any kind of law, the law books and things, the way you've been in the courtroom and say, hey, that's how some people speak in law? It doesn't sound like it's a language, that it's language in a way that the common man can understand it. How do you think that an African is going to understand a European presenting that to him? So that's going to be even more difficult, because that's difficult for an English-speaking person to understand. But here we go. For Africans, the treaties were merely diplomatic and commercial friendship treaties. Really? But that was a commercial, diplomatic and commercial friendship that would cost you your life. That was like doing a favor for the mob. The mob asked you to do a favor. Now you owe them a favor for the rest of your life. That's what it seemed like to me. So after discovering that they had, in effect, been defrauded. Took them a while to figure out they've been defrauded, and that the European powers now wanted to impose and exercise political authority in their land. Basically, as long as you're doing what I want you to do, we good. The minute you stand in my way, I have to eliminate you. So again, they say African rulers organized military. They organized militarily to resist the seizure of their land and colonial domain, the domination. So they got together. They said, oh, we got to rumble these guys. These guys trying to take everything that we had, including us. Okay? African armed military resistance took two main forms, guerrilla warfare and direct military engagement. So I guess they weren't strong enough for the direct military engagement unless somebody provided arms for them, as in you see in Vietnam. You have an agricultural community or an underdeveloped society, you know, defending themselves against a very developed society in the case of the United States. It was the French before that. Anyway, China even before that. Anyway, much of Africa had been colonized by seven European powers. Seven. They had a little meeting, right? Right? They got together. Bam. The five families got together. And I'm not saying the mob did this. I'm not saying that. I'm just using that as an example. The five families got together, say, hey, look, what we need to do, we got a place down here. We can explore it. Let's live together. And let's work together and go down here and take this. Britain, France, Germany, Belgium, Spain, Portugal, and Italy. Now, the Dutch was there, too, but I don't know why this guy didn't mention them. They had, the Battle of, March 1st, 1896 in Ethiopia. I mentioned Ethiopia. They said it was the only people that successfully waged war against the Europeans. So we're going to give Ethiopia two thumbs up and a pat on the back. The crushing defeat of Italian forces at the hands of the Ethiopian king Menelik's troops is one of the first decisive victories by African forces over a European colonial power. Menelik's victory gave him significant credibility with other European countries and bolstered his mandate at home, both of which helped to provide a period of peace in Ethiopia that allowed the country to flourish. Now, you know what that sounds like? If somebody comes to bully you, you have to fight that bully. Can't give in to him. If you beat him, he'll leave you alone. For a season, maybe. Italo-Ethiopian War, 1935-1936 in Ethiopia, from the Library of Congress, Washington, D.C. Almost four decades later, the sequel. Italy may have thought that it finally had vended when Italian forces invaded Ethiopia in 1935 and annexed the country the following year, but their unwelcome stay was relatively short-lived as the World War II Allied powers liberated the country in 1941. The way for World War II, it demonstrated the weakness of the reign of international body reigning international body at the time, the League of Nations, which could do little more than condemn the invasion and impose sanctions on Italy. What we got now, y'all? We got the United Nations, all right? You got the European Union. You got the United Nations. I don't know if they have an African Union or anything like that, but if they're smart in Africa, everybody needs to pull together politically and their resources together. Okay? Because historically, if you don't do that, you soon to be defeated war right here. The Anglo-Zulu War, 1879 in South Africa. This is famous. It's been made famous in Hollywood in terms of, you know, the characters and, you know, the key players. Shaka Zulu and, you know, all the British defeated Zulu King Keshasawo forces marked the end of an era of powerful Zulu kings. It also resulted in the Zulu kingdom being incorporated into British colonial holdings, eventually as a part of the province of Natal, which later became the modern-day South African province of Gunmore, 1880-1881, South Africa, from the Encyclopedia Britannica Incorporated. The Soto people, victory over the Cape Colony is one of a few examples in Southern African history of black Africans winning a conflict with colonial powers in the 19th century. It's also a reason why the country of Lesotho is surrounded by the country of South Africa. So apparently there's a sovereign nation that's surrounded by the country of South Africa. How many people knew that? Rather than being a part of it, because Basutoland as Lesotho remained independent of the Cape Colony. It was not included when that colony and three others formed the Union of South Africa in 1910. So the Lesotho, two thumbs up, pat on the back. That's why I'm off. I don't have anything else, you know. But to these brothers, they stood their ground against, man. I mean, those odds were against them. I don't even know how they did that. I'm going to have to look that up and just see how that went, actually went. Because how did they manage to not be colonized? Can age. The Berlin Conference of 1884 to 1885, at which the most powerful European countries agreed upon rules for laying claim to particular African territories, the British, French, German, Italian, Spanish, Belgian, and the Portuguese set out formally implementing strategies for the long-term occupation and control of Africa. Again, here we go again. They all got together. Right, and these guys, they had a lot. They've been fighting each other for years, centuries. There's nothing new. The Germans controlled Italy at one time. The God, and said, let's go take their stuff. So for whatever good that was, they did it. The conquest had begun decades earlier, and in the case of Angola and South Africa, centuries earlier. But after the Berlin Conference, it became more systemic and overt. All right? Now, that means the diplomacy out the window. We come in, and you know what we're coming for. All right? So they got bold with it now. But we know why? Because they don't have a reference point, as my friend likes to say. There's no reference point for them. They've been going in and out of Africa. They only lost but the Lesothos and Ethiopia. That's two skirmishes, two wars. For the most part, they've been able to go there, do what they want to do. So what's going to stop them from going back? Nothing. And nothing did. In the 1880s, for example, it did. In what is today Zimbabwe, the British used existing disputes between the Ndebele, British would have to intervene and would ultimately gain a position to claim control over the Ndebele land. Okay, that's called divide and conquer, y'all. If I know that, that's oldest trick in a book. This is the 1800s. These guys is working the African brothers. They already against each other. They stir up the fight and they move in. All right. The success of the European conquest and the nature of African resistance must be seen in light of Western Europe's long history of colonial rule and economic exploitation around the world. In fact, they said, 1885, Western Europeans had mastered the art of divide, conquer, and rule, honing their skills over 400 years of imperialism and exploitation in the Americas, Asia, and the Pacific. All right, we didn't get to Asia yet. I haven't forgot about them. That right there is very, very important. Anybody listening, there is nothing more important. I can't say nothing. Unity is very, very, very important. I cannot say it. You know, we need to get past vision that we have, and you need to start working together, because here you have a group of people who are known for enslaving each other or butchering each other who had the mind, right, the will to get together, make a plan, and say, let's go take what they got. And I'm not suggesting that you get that you unite to take from another man. I'm suggesting that you unite so that you can defend yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually against things like this. All right? Because the attack is not just a military attack. They're saying that it's commercial to resources. Oh, we have a caller. I'm sorry. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, Carlton.
Hello?
Hey, Carlton.
Hey, what's up, King? Yes,
doing?
Sir. All right.
I
can hardly hear you.
Can you hear me now?
That's loud and clear. Loud, clear.
You talked about the African Union before. Gaddafi tried doing that. He tried to set up an African bank to unite all African countries so they could stop the Chinese, the Middle Easterners, the Russians from coming and taking their power. But you know what happened to Gaddafi? So, different leaders have been trying to unite ever since the early 1900s, but they get assassinated. And I wonder who they assassinated, who assassinated them, Mutombo and all of them. So they've been trying. I mean, that's why the North Africa is a lot of Islam up there, because, you know, they asked the Arabs to help them, you know, to get the colonials off their neck. But they adopted Islam and the Middle East and got a lot of rituals in North Africa. So it's been going on for centuries. Other countries,
right.
Carving. I mean, some of the names in Africa is not even African names. Some of the names of the country.
Right.
Your African names, of course, is the people that conquer or colonize them and name whatever they want. Name. It's been happening for centuries.
Okay, so look
at the diamond trade. Look at the diamond. Look, I mean, wars are being fought over diamond mines.
I don't even get that. I don't understand that at all. But I don't understand the whole diamond thing. I don't understand anything about it. Sounds like a mind game to me. Somebody said this rock is worth a lot of money.
Yeah, well,
that's it. And then everybody just believed it. I don't understand. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Africa is a rich continent. And wars have been fought on that continent. You know, over the resources. You know, so yeah, it's a whole lot of history over there, wars and fighting over their resources, the people that have been there for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries, AD, that's that colonization that you were talking about earlier, take another man's resources. But there have been, there have been some countries that tried to defend themselves, but, I mean, they don't have the power. Then, and once they take over the country, they put a puppet in there to keep people down.
Right.
You know?
Right. Like they exterminated them. The Herero people, they exterminated them. The Germans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where they started those gas chambers, right there in North Africa. Well, that's a good history lesson. Learn a lot.
That's a hell of a thing to do to people, and nobody's calling it what it is.
Yeah. Genocide.
Yeah, nobody's calling it.
Hey, you know what? You said organization. Well, what the United Nations set up for? You know,
what
it's ironic. United Nations.
Oh, United Nations.
Yeah, they're supposed to stop these genocides and wars. I guess unlawful war. I don't know what war is lawful, but I'm calling unlawful wars. You know, but
are those countries in the United Nations that I mentioned?
Those countries I mentioned,
England, France, those all of them guys, they in the
France
Spain.
France in the United Nations.
Yeah, they're all in the United Nations, right?
Portuguese,
yeah.
Or Portugal,
right.
All of them.
They're all in there.
Yeah, Germany.
So that's like the police and the police, ain't it?
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
I bet you it was happening on another land. I bet you it happened on another land. Or they'll do something about it, try to do something about it.
Right.
But I guess it's just a dark complexion peoples of the world. Anything goes.
You know, that's what I was saying. It seems to appear that way, that whenever a man of color, people of color stand up for themselves when they're being, when their rights are being violated, when their life is being violated, they're viewed as a threat. Even on a large scale,
mm-hmm.
right here, we have people, indigenous people, stand up, you know, against themselves. The Indians, they said they were, they used a word to describe the Indians, like, disruptive
mm-hmm.
Indians. Like, yo, you came into my house, you forced
mm-hmm.
me to live in my bathroom, then you kicked me out of there. And I'm not supposed to be angry about that?
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like they just minimized the whole situation that they did with the American Native Americans and with these guys, with the heroin people. They said, oh, it looked like they uprise. What do you mean they uprise?
Yeah.
They should have uprise when you first showed up on this, you know, wherever you, when you crossed their borders.
And what you talking about, Carl.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Huh?
What you talking about, Carl, is here's somebody could come in your house, literally, take your stuff, and you pick up a rifle to defend it, to maim the robber or whatever, they come kill you. I mean, the cops
right.
are
you
coming
the bad
at
guy.
You. You're the bad
you
guy.
You the bad guy.
That's us.
Right.
That's us. That's us. Yeah.
There's
hey,
something
wherever
wrong
we,
with that.
Wherever we try to, and then like Baco said, you have to speak in the language which your oppressor speaks. Because you come in a different language, they ain't going to understand what you talking about. They don't understand you, and they're not going to listen to you. But if you speak
that's
the
right.
language that they speak, they'll listen in. They'll listen in. But, you know, like I said, you know, different strategies, and we talk about globalization and what have you. I wonder, are we included in this globalization?
What do you mean, are we included? Included, how do you mean? Because everybody's included, but how are you included?
Economically, I'm speaking of financially.
Financial
growth.
Gain?
Yes, economic growth.
Well, see the way it works this way. If what you do is it's within the favor of the individuals who are colonizing, you're included. But if what you do is against that, then you're not included.
Mm.
That's what I'm getting.
That's true. All right, Con, got to go, man.
All right, Kane, thanks.
I enjoyed the show. All right,
thank you. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thoughts. Sorry to keep you waiting. Hello. Yes,
hey,
sir.
How you doing?
All right, brother, how you doing?
Well, I know you guys are going to probably get tired of hearing me saying the same thing, but everything goes back to one thing, and that is that it's been a race war from the door. We tend to overcomplicate things, looking for solutions out in the sky and trying to understand things that don't need clarification. This beast lets you know daily what his intention is, what his plan is. His plan is the rulership of the world. He's appointed himself Lord of the World. You know, anytime you can decide who can have what president, who your president, you know, there's no such thing. He talks about sovereignty, you know what I mean? But nobody has any sovereignty when it comes to this guy. He's going to tell the he's right now, he's trying to tell Venezuela they can't have their president, and he's going to give one. And black people don't understand that we got to take that kind of stuff serious, because they're black people that are going, you know, Venezuela is like 40-50% black. You don't see them, Telemundo don't show the black folks, but
right.
There's black folks down there that's going to suffer. You know what I mean? When these cracks, there's black folks that held up Chavez. You know what I mean? Not that he was God or anything like that, but he gave him a fair shake. You know what I'm saying? So, but like you said, this country's program has been from the door. These people, is the same as what the racist program has been, what they call manifest destiny. Their world belongs to them, and they have a right to it. They are globally trying to call the world's population. They just gave a tetanus. They just gave a tetanus vaccination to 500,000 Kenyan women, and then they found out, investigated it, and found that they had a sterilization compound inside the vaccination.
That's Bill Gates.
You know what I mean?
Bill Gates had that.
That's the World Health Organization. You talk about the United Nations and the League of Nations. These organizations were formed by white people to manage their property. They don't have. You know, I had some ignorant Negro tell me that, you know, one of the Moorish fools tell me that we suffer because we call ourselves black, and because we call ourselves black, the nations of Africa can't come to our rescue. Well, who gonna come to the nations of Africa rescue? You know what
man,
I mean?
Did they not get to know this information that I just read? I'm just the tip of the iceberg what I'm reading.
They want everything, all they want to maintain is enough of us to serve them. The rest got to go. That's the program.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like you said, they want to clear Africa so that they can come there and live. They don't just want to go travel through their resources. They want to sit right there. They want to sit right there on them because they're destroying the rest of the world. You know what I mean? They're destroying the world. I mean, this is a beast that gave radioactive ammunition to his own soldiers and made the whole Middle East damn near nuclear. So, you know, these people are coming to, you know what I mean, and black folks keep trying to find and join up with anything that won't put in the opposition with these people, because they know these people come, they come to kill your babies, they're going to burn you out there, which is what they've done around the world. You know what I mean? They went in Iraq and killed tens of thousands of babies. You know what I mean? They don't care about human life. They can't get on with their own children. What the hell do you think they care about yours? You know what I mean? So, you know, so now we've got this global assault, and those who are going to remain have to become homosexual in order to survive. You know, they're forcing homosexuality on the world. You know what I mean? They're over in Africa now, forcing it in the world. And then they're trying to convince us that we support it. How could a black person support homosexuality when it was homosexuals who spearheaded the whole assault in slavery, spearheaded slavery? Remember, they raped the men first. You know what I mean?
Buck breaking, they call it.
Homosexual is not our friend.
Right.
Yeah. The homosexual is not our friend. He's never going to be our friend. He's a victim. You know what I mean? I just did a lady comment. I had to tell somebody, and they talking about this guy, you know, and now they got this broad, Kamala Harris, you better watch this chick. They got this white chick pretending to be black, and she's introducing legislation called the Anti-Lynching Bill to protect homosexuals when homosexuals were the ones that lynched them. Not in our name. You know what I mean? They're giving protections to homosexuals, you know what I mean, based on the suffering of black people. That has nothing to do with protection for black people. There's no benefit to black people. You know, so all of them. You got Cory Booker, Kamala Harris. Yeah, that's the new homo onslaught. So they're saying you have to be homosexual, you know what I mean, and the transgender, you know what I mean. You see the video with the big Barney-looking cracker snapping in the store because somebody called him a man.
Oh, no, I didn't know about it. I didn't hear about that.
Oh, man, this big gruesome. Look like whatever the in the store, customs tearing the store up because the clerk called them sir. Said yes, sir. And he said, oh, no, he's a man, and this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? But there's no such thing as transgender. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's trans trauma. You know what I mean? But you want to force your insanity on me and my child. What am I going to do? What
right.
am I, now they make it illegal. So that if you stand in there and your daughter goes in the bathroom and you see a man going there after her, you can't run in there.
Somebody's about to get hurt, right?
Yeah. Oh, somebody definitely going to get hurt. You know what I mean? But you're going to get an extra 15 years because it's a hate crime because you prevented a homosexual from assaulting your child.
Right. So let me get this right. So you're saying they're weaponized sexual behavior in terms of...
Bill Gates made a statement. I mean, you can Google it. Bill Gates made a statement a couple of years ago talking about how they can, with reproduction control and vaccinations, they could make a huge dent in population control. You know, he just admitted mm-hmm. that, you know, that's what they're over there doing. I mean, they might think they're over there doing, you know what I mean? Like, my the greatest historian ever, John Henry Clark, told us all the time. It says, the black race don't owe nobody anything but an ass whooping. They have no friends. They ain't no people of color coalition. That ain't, it's just us against the world. It's everybody, you know what I mean, has lined up to abuse and assault us. From the Arab to the white man. If you think the crackers is bad, Asian rule ain't going to be no better. You see what they're doing over in Africa right now. You know what I mean?
South Africa?
Yeah, they're all over. They're all over everywhere. All of them. Everybody. You know what I mean? They, you know, Cracker wrote a book, what was it? Brzezinski? You know what I mean? He wrote a book years ago about tribes and stuff about the, you know, about they've been writing books and doing all these studies about the coming race war. You know what I mean? But it's between the Arab, the regular cracker, the white Arab, the white European, and the white Asian. You know what I mean? And the prize is Africa. You know, while they spending all this money getting us to act like we don't want nothing to do with Africa, they deny Africa, they setting their battle plans on it. They want it. You know what I mean? While they trying to convince us that we ain't got nothing to do with it. So they're fighting over Africa. That's what every world war has been about Africa. And I tell people all the time, ain't no white man nowhere in this world at any point in history has ever lived well without feeding off Africa or African people.
Africa feeds the whole world, right?
Dimension. Right. That's what it is. And we starving. You know what I mean? You talking about how Africa... need to get ourselves together. We can get ourselves together. You give us our money back. France holds the money for 13 African nations.
What?
You know, the Francophone. Look up the Francophone state.
To who? Who write this down?
Francophone. 13. Francophone. FRANC. OPHONE, Francophone countries, nations, or whatever, countries, nations. These are countries whose countries deserves. This is what it took for the crackers to leave the countries. And they call themselves independent. But in order for them to leave, the countries deserves, their money is held in France. And they can only have access to maybe 40% of their annual income. And anything else, they got to come back and try to borrow. They got to borrow their own money from France. And any project they build, if they want to build a road, a hotel, anything, they got to give France first dibs on the contract. And they talking about they free. Ain't no free nations over there. Ain't there one of all of them is on remote control. You know what I mean? And this is a totally... totally unacceptable situation in this day. And this is something we should be working on. We should be working to liberate Africa's resources and do what we got to do. You know,
man. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't control the economy. Their money, all their money sitting in. Well, look right now what happened. Maduro went to go get some of his gold. The United States ordered Britain bank not to give Venezuela their money. Oh, but you going to take my money? Same thing they did with Iraq. Just took their money.
Man.
And brother was saying something about an independent banking system. Yeah, we need an independent central bank or something created independent of these crackers. You know what I mean?
Wasn't Gaddafi doing that?
Yeah, a couple of them was trying to do it. You know, everybody tries to do it. They, you know, come
kill.
Through.
That's
what Kennedy's
saying. Anybody that tried to do something independent, they kill.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all, man, y'all Obama. Obama hugged that man and gave him the kiss of death, knowing damn well he was sending people to kill him. When he came over here, remember that big hug?
Mm-hmm.
Obama hugged, kissed that nigga on the cheek like Don Corleone. Told me he was dead. He was dead in 6 months.
Man,
you know what I mean?
So that's the whole going back to Africa thing is like going back to what was your concept on that, going back to Africa?
Going back to Africa? Some people have to go back to Africa to establish the relationships and to agitate on the ground level because they got the African people bullshitted. They don't know the white man the enemy. They think their problem is their leaders are corrupt. They don't know that they don't have a leader that ain't been picked by, you know, over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't realize. They don't know that because they starve them off in the countryside, so they run to the city thinking they got to get the education to make a living. This is how they did
right.
Africa. This is what's happening in Africa. They starve the economies in the outside, so all the kids is fleeing their villages and stuff, trying to get in the cities to get to make some money. But in order to do that, you got to be educated. So you go pay them to go to their little schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got all the priests waiting there to molest them. They're all tampered with. You get molested. You go to school, get molested.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what's happening after. You know what I mean? You got infatuated infection. You got an infection.
So
you got 1,000 years of infection. You know what I mean? Of European
raping and
infection.
Pillaging. That's, you're saying that's what's happening in Africa right now. Raping and pillaging.
Right now. Right today. You know what I mean? Church is the biggest enemy in Africa. Church is the number one enemy in Africa. Islam is number two. Enemies of Africa. And
wow.
African people worldwide. You know what I mean? Rape for the world.
Wow.
They facilitate. You know, what's his name? What's the short guy's name? The mini general? What's his name? Napoleon.
The who?
Napoleon. Napoleon's famous quote was, he said, every missionary is worth a regiment of troops.
Through the mind, and you conquer them, huh?
Yeah, you send them over there first and talk them up. They sent them over there to create conflicting ideologies. Shake
mm-hmm.
up the fucking family. You got kids who would never have thought of questioning their parents and the traditions. Cracking his head over there, and you know, he done molested them and gave him gave him a sandwich and molested them. Now they don't know what the hell to do. They gonna do whatever you tell them. So, you know, these white people, you know, and, you know, they call it any kind of cycle. I mean, think about how many times these people have killed their own people.
Right.
To take somebody's land. You know, they took California. They went over there and attacked the people and said the people attacked them.
Right.
And used that as justification to take California, Texas, you know, take all that stuff. Same thing in the War of 1812. Same thing. They sunk their own ship in the, you know what I mean? There's one thing about the cracker. If it ain't broke, he don't fix it. He used the same tricks over and over and over again because they work.
Doing it off the said, they honed in their skills of divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's the same story happening the Americas happening in Africa. These guys not together, don't even have a concept of being together. By the time they get that concept, it's too late.
Right. But people don't understand that they think the Crackers, see, the Crackers, they're more in the tribal warfare than anybody else. If we stop letting them play us, they had to go back to eating each other. They just didn't got together. And the Pope started it. Pope said, oh, you fire nation, stop fighting amongst yourself. Get together, sit down there at these conferences, and divide up this goddamn planet and stop fighting amongst yourself. Go over there and enslave these people. The Pope said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pope oversaw that. He issued an edict saying, then go over there. It's okay. They savages. Enslave them all.
So that's what he got the idea of the manifest destiny.
Right. The white man's
destiny. That's coming from their holy men.
Because he's the child of God, and the rest of them are outside of God.
Do what you will.
Yeah, that's right. So do what you will. They're animals. Great Christian nation. Go rape the world.
Wow.
In God's name.
They had a movie.
Man, if you read some, I mean, and all their stuff is online. If you go read all the agendas and attack plans to all the missionaries, their views on how they went into Africa, they sat up and devised plans on how to get to these people, how to write up talking points and draw on similarities to put them to sleep, you know?
Mm.
You get them and then, you know, like your God is just like my God, but my God is better.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like a beast.
Wow, that's interesting, man. That's a lot of, and it's going on all over the planet. And
ain't nothing more important than controlling the educational system. Same thing they did, you know, they did it in India, they did it everywhere they went.
I didn't even get to India yet. And look, what I'm saying that these companies, so-called companies, come in. Like the Indian company, like Indonesia is named after
a
company. You know, so I'm like, wow. I mean, that's what I'm in the beginning, you talk about the corporate interests, political interests, yeah, and the military. You know the military is coming. I don't care what they send over there. You know, they send these emissaries over there to try to make these contracts with people. And, you know, I was saying earlier that, you know, I know you know about law. If you read a law book, you can't understand it and you speak English. So how are you going to go somewhere making a contract with a guy from another language?
Yeah,
I don't understand what you're saying.
It's all a bunch of bull anyway. Everybody that got a treaty with this cracker got a bull in the back of their head. That's what come with the treaty. Everybody, look at this historical record. That treaty, they will sign anything. They'll agree to anything. Because they know they don't have any intention of keeping their word. They just want to get in and get strong. You know what I mean? We want you to be cool with them long enough for them to build their forts and getting some guns in there to kill your ass. Or enough disease to kill you, because that was their main weapon, disease. They've been fighting biological warfare from the door. Smallpox blankets were no accident.
Right.
You know, that wasn't a mistake. There wasn't no oops. That was clever. This is who they are, man. They come and they kill everything. That's they're like locusts. They're plague. The white cancer, that's what we refer to them as, the white cancer. They don't have any connection to anything. They're incapable of resonating with anything divine because they're repulsive to anything divine. That's how incomplete they are. Melanin recessive degenerative mutant. I mean, it's already proven. They're already admitting that they're not even human. That they have Neanderthal. And all you see it now is scientific papers on how they what they really are. You know what I mean? That they went, you know, the only real human beings on planet Earth is African. Everybody else got is half Neanderthal. That's why they had fur instead of hair.
And okay, so
white Asians, white Arabs, all of them.
All right, so in terms of the Europeans invading Africa, it's that even though they were, because this has been going on for hundreds of years, then, you know, but so the Africans, even though they saw they were being attacked, right, like that, right, when once they identified it, right, they mm-hmm. still remain in conflict with each other. Even had Africans fighting with the Europeans against Africans. That's very similar to what happened in Americas with the Indians and things like that.
They're
the enemy of my friend.
Yeah, they lie and they back people in little neighborhood wars. Look, you know what I mean? They go and tell you that they're going to be down with you, and then they cross you and they're going to be down with us. Man, this Kerrigan did. That's what he did. Same thing he did. And he instigates. Same thing he does here. Look. Hey, Carl, look. What do you think? They stop? What nation do that? They come up in the neighborhood, grab a bunch of us, throw us in the wagon, and take us down to another gang, another neighborhood, and put us out, or either put them in the van with us.
Right.
Cracker don't come up with nothing new. We've been doing the same thing. We've been doing the same, working the same game.
Wow. So this cake is divided up in little bitty pieces. Nations is concerned. And within a nation, you have wars. Because now we have wars within nations. You know what I'm saying? We have conflict within a nation. They have wars. The wars right there is a civil war. Things like you see a lot of that, you know, going on. It's like,
well, it's because the cracker created the demarcation line. The crackers created these nations. They weren't just like in so-called Middle East. Them not natural nations. These was Churchill and them created the nations. There weren't no such thing as what's the people? Not Iraq. What's them other people? The people that they came to rescue from Iraq. Whatever. But all them nations is fake. They cut that stuff just like they cut up Africa. They cut up them. They separated family, remember, and on family, different groups is on different sides of borders, and then they got other nations. You know what I mean? Those are not natural boundaries or borders that they met. These are borders that the slaver came up with. He came up with based on what he could hold up, or what his understanding of the territory. He didn't care about how many that he was holding up. He was splitting up families and territories, hunting grounds, different groups. You know what I mean? He spurred all kinds. I mean, that's his thing. You know what I mean? Like, they got the colors and stuff. His thing. The same thing how they created the genocide, the atrocities in Rwanda. You know what I mean? It's by him instituting and creating classes. That's his thing. Creating
that's
different classes and different groups. And putting them in touch
right.
and elevating one over the other and all that kind of stuff and forcing one to abuse the other and, you know, be over him and, look, your family can't eat unless you mistreat these guys, you know what I mean? And you know, people, well, they should have killed them at the shore. They should have been like these new, what's them people they found, them people that's up in them islands that just killed the guys that came over,
the guys never don't want nobody coming over there.
That's what we should all be. That's what we should have did from the door. You know what I mean? Should have killed them from the doors. And some of us did. You know what I mean? Like I said, we just did it. The Kraken did. He didn't just walk into Africa. Took him thousands. He was smart. I mean, we got tons and tons and hundreds and thousands of years of stories of armies
warfare.
And sisters, warfare against
right.
the people held them out of Africa. You know what I mean? They were stopped.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when they got in, it wasn't sweet. It was waist high, you know what I mean? But when they got in, the first thing they did, besides raping the men, was burn the shrines. They burnt our shrines to cut off our connection with our ancestors and call, what was it called? Muhammad or die.
Get down and lay down.
That's right. Muhammad or die. So what you going to do? This motherfucker with a snitch on 5 feet and stand over top of you, man. He got a head in one hand. You know what I mean? And he's talking about Muhammad or die. What you going to do? You know?
Wow.
They chose to be unique.
Right. They chose light. That's what they basically did. And then it
right.
indoctrinated
what to do?
Children.
Right. Yeah, man.
Wow.
Cancer, man. Why is cancer? It's not something that gets better. It's not something that can get better. He's not going to get better. He's not going to change. He can't change.
Here's some music. We got like 5 more minutes. I just want to just mention this thing about China, the British imperialism in China. If I know about Hong Kong, that's really a British colony in China. How they got it was through the Opium Wars. I know you're familiar
right.
with that, right?
America was there. America was in there too. Yeah. When they said, you're going to make them take this dope. You're going to take this dope.
Ain't that something? They had 2 opium wars. So mm-hmm. the emperor had to just gave up Hong Kong to them. Just to slow that down. So I thought that was crazy because I'm like, so they used the drugs to subdue the people. Now, and I'm saying like, well, isn't there an influx of drugs in this country? I'm just saying.
And that's how China, when China had their revolution, that's how you had kids killing parents. That's part of that drug thing. Kid would blow his dad the head off. When they had the Cultural Revolution.
Right.
So they had to do. But this beast of diabolical, this beast was still dropping plane loads of diseased mosquitoes over China.
Hmm.
There's a book by William Bloom called Killing Hope. The outlaws, all the shit the CIA, all that stuff they did. Boy, you read that book, it'll scare you, man. I guess it's crazy.
Wow. Okay, so we got like 3 more minutes. I'm about to close the show up. I appreciate you calling in, Sha.
Yeah,
man. Kenny, I don't know if you still hear me.
I'm about ready to do my new thing.
Okay.
My next show gonna be on this homo assault. That book 8. Y'all gotta watch out for them 2 bills they trying to press fast.
Okay, let me know when you wanna come on the show. All right, when you're ready,
man,
let me know.
Book me, and I'm ready. All right, man. Book me and set me.
After the show.
All right.
I just wanna thank everybody for calling in again. All the listeners, thank you for listening in to the show. Stay tuned next week. And just remember, just keep in mind, you know, that we don't have the right to kill people because they have something that we want. That's we don't have the right to do that. It's just any trade and natural resources. Trade and natural resources appear to be a major reason for colonization, but the Asian Africans appear to have done it without murdering anyone. We had the Moors. They conquered Spain, and I didn't see any history of them murdering anybody. But they fought the Gulf, which is in war, and colonized Spain themselves. But they educated and gave them sciences and things like that. 800 years later, they kicked the Moors out, which goes to the point again. Nobody likes to be colonized. No, even for the upgrade that they gave them. They still didn't want to be colonized by a foreign force. but they gave them street lights, pavements like we have today, baths. Should we go to war for an interest group or another man's interest or a corporation? Is that right or is that wrong? Think about it. Don't take a long time to answer that question because it's a very simple question. I want to again thank everybody. I want to thank We Talk Productions. Peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.